Boulder City Podcast. We return today to our collaboration with Boulder City Social to continue our series of podcasts with candidates for the City Council of Boulder City. In light of the lack of public forums during the pandemic, we hope that these podcasts will help voters meet the candidates and understand their views and opinions. We got a lot of feedback the first time, first round of this, and they said it definitely helped them. So we really hope that this will help guide folks to deciding how their vote is going to be cast in the June 15th election, with early voting starting on June 3rd, so we're getting close. So we have Matt Fox here today. Matt, thanks for joining us, and congratulations on winning the first round of the elections there.
Well, thank you, sir. Yeah, it's been a great experience, and I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, well, it was great to see you. You did a great job the first time on the podcast. We're looking forward to your answers. We're getting a little more in-depth this time because we want to ask everybody the same questions, but now, you know, there's some specific questions you want to ask. So what do you think Boulder City voters responded so well to your campaign?
You know, I think just staying positive, and I know that there's a lot of negativity online, especially online.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think people are just tired of it.
Right.
You know, it's you know, keep a positive attitude and just keep moving along. And that's what people want. They want to see people succeeding and getting things done.
Right.
So I think it just goes a long way.
Yeah, positivity is always good in this town, that's for sure. Yeah, it seemed to be a pretty big defeat for the mayor and the people on council who support him and his supporters across town. You know, not one of their candidates made the runoff. Why do you think that happened?
Well, you know, I think this, you know, residents, they want something different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've seen the votes and the council go one way for the last couple of years.
Sure.
And I think... yeah, they want to see change.
Right. Yeah, and they want to see a little more transparency and a little more openness on council, I think.
Yeah.
I think that was the way it was. So, you know, some of the race got pretty personal, especially online, as you mentioned. And you seem to rise above that. Are you going to continue to use that strategy in the runoff here?
Of course, yeah. You know, just staying positive, and, you know, I know there's, people say a lot of things online, you know, just because there's a keyboard, there's a monitor,
right?
You know, and so yeah, crazy things get said. It's just not reflecting on it too much, or you know, not being focused on it, and you know, and I use it as encouragement. You know, to keep my head up, keep chugging along, and keeping my path. You know, I have a goal, and I'm going to accomplish this goal, whether someone likes it or not.
Right.
You know, it's not going to slow me down.
Sure. So clearly the issue that stood out for most voters, as it did in the two previous elections, was the slow growth ordinance. Mm-hmm. You know, whether that should remain as it is or altered a little bit or changed altogether. Obviously, and there wasn't one candidate that said they wanted to do anything but keep it in place. So, but there is a little bit of a division in town between the slow growth and no growth. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, so I am definitely for slow growth.
Yeah.
Right. We grow at a rate that it still allows us to know everybody.
Right.
I mentioned this, in, I believe, in the first podcast, but, you know, we're Leave It to Beaver Town. Everybody knows everybody, and that's what everybody likes.
Right.
And we all come here, you know, most of us, you know, because it's a small town. Mm-hmm. And I like knowing all my neighbors and even the new people that come to the restaurant. They go, hey, we just moved here. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a great introduction, you know, and it keeps the rate, you know, the rate that we grow allows us to know everybody.
Sure.
And, you know, if we don't grow, we get stagnant, right? That's how towns and cities die.
Right, sure. And we got to keep growing. I mean, one of the questions that was asked was, you know, our schools need you know, the people in those schools, or else they'll be downsized, and we'll have less teachers and less opportunity for students in Boulder City. So so there needs to be some growth to kind of maintain that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and again, at the rate that we grow, I think it's just fine.
Sure, sure. Now, you know, slow growth certainly on the residential side, but on the business side, it'd be nice to have more growth there, don't you think?
Yes, definitely. So you'll hear me say, you know, we need to grow within the community, and, you know, we need attractions here in Boulder City because we are a tourism town.
Sure.
You know, the Hoover Dam, and we all saw what happened when the dam shut down.
Right.
You know, the business here in town just went away.
Right.
And, you know, that hurt, say, 90% of the business here in town, because we all thrive on the temporary growth.
Right, sure.
So we need attractions. You know, we need to get people here. you know, the dam, right? The dam is a great place for people to come in. You know, the Europeans, the Asians, they all come here for the heat and right. the dam.
Sure.
What else can we offer them besides mm-hmm. great food and, you know, those other spots?
Right.
So, yeah, we definitely look at different ideas, you know, more events and things like that.
Yeah. And talking about events, we just had the Spring Jamboree,
yeah.
which was very nice to see people finally out and enjoying themselves, and,
yeah.
and people coming to town aren't from Boulder City. And would you like to see more events? I mean, yeah, we have some great events, Art in the Park, Spring Jamboree, you know, the barbecue thing. I mean, it's just some, and the film festival, that kind of thing. I mean, but there could be so much more. Would you be receptive if you're on council to people coming before you and proposing new events?
Oh, definitely. And I think... you know, if I was elected to be on council, I think I could be a great spokesperson for to show and educate people and the council on how badly we need the tourism and mm-hmm. events. You know, we need people here. You know, I think I can be a what's the word I'm working for?
Ambassador.
Ambassador, or yeah, just a spokesperson.
Right.
You know, a medium right there, because sure. I think that's where the council lacks.
Yeah.
I got three kids in school, mm-hmm. right, and on council, aside from Sherry, you know, who's got, you know, younger kids, but I'd be the only one with kids
right.
and, you know, someone that operates a business.
Yeah.
And I think I would do great on council and help educate everyone on both sides.
Sure. You would represent, you know, both sides of the issue, I
yes.
think, you know, being the business community and the residential community,
yeah.
for sure. So, you know, we supposedly have a master plan in place,
yes.
but, you know, frankly, I'm not really sure what it is. And I don't think it's been updated in quite some time. Would you be in favor of really looking at a master plan and kind of laying it down for the next 20 years or so?
Yeah, so my thought on that, with the rate that technology is upgrading, right? So master plans, I think they would revise them every 10 to 12 years. But it really needs to be looked at every couple to few years now.
Sure.
Because, yeah, whether it's infrastructure, you mm-hmm. know, everything is just growing and updating at a pace. You know, 10 years is a long time.
Sure.
So, a lot of places will be behind the ball.
Right.
I think a revision of the master plan
right.
can
and
be
we
looked
should
at.
Be constantly looking at that, sounds like you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. So... we just had an issue with the RDA, and frankly, I've learned more about the RDA in the last few weeks than I have even than I knew about it before.
Yeah.
And it seems to be a really important vehicle in the city. Do you think the way it's being handled right now is appropriate?
The way that it's laid out, right, the guidelines, it's pretty, it's clear,
right.
right? But then once you get past that and there's the committee mm-hmm. and people that approve it, right, I think there needs to be a different route, especially if there's a history
right.
with certain people.
Sure. Right.
Because, yeah, if someone doesn't like somebody or there's a past,
right.
you know, it's going to be the vote's going to it's going to swing one way.
Sure. Do you think council should be the ones that are deciding on those RDA grants? Because, again, you know, you might get those personality conflicts there. Maybe there should be another board or something. I don't know.
I believe so. I think having, there's plenty of ad hoc committees, mm-hmm. right? So I think something like that should definitely be looked at.
Yeah, okay, great. Historic preservation is very important to this mm-hmm. town. It was certainly one of the issues that people were looking at. But, you know, a lot of those buildings are privately owned. You know, how should the city be involved in setting guidelines for those, for historic preservation for those privately owned buildings?
The way I look at it, it's funny. Like, you know, it's your property. You should be able to do whatever you want with
right.
it, you know. But when it comes to historic properties, you know, people buy them knowing that there are guidelines mm-hmm. and stipulations if they want to do any kind of upgrades. I think going into those types of homes, yeah, there needs to be certain guidelines that you have to follow. You
right.
know, they want to remodel, you know, which it does go. The plans do get submitted and
sure.
get approved
right.
or not. But yeah, people buy, you know, buy those properties knowing that they have guidelines
sure,
to follow.
Sure. Do you think that, there should be kind of a, rather than having a city oversee it, maybe kind of a homeowners association of people who own these private buildings and they maybe they would have a better idea of how it should be restored or preserved?
Well, I think don't quote me on this. Is it the National Historic Preservation
right.
Register?
Right.
I don't think it could be handled by by private owners.
Right. Well, that's, you know, the old hospital was a historic place under some registry like that, and that still, you know, got torn down in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I know. It's like the hospital and the word development, right? Like murder in this town.
Sure.
But yeah, I think, you know, the hospital was up for sale for many years, right? There was lots of possibilities for people to go in and buy it and save it or do whatever they want with it. And, you know, someone bought it and they're doing what they want to it.
Yeah,
and
So the next hot spot now is this water filtration plant. You know, there's some estimates that it would cost, you know, $500,000 to renovate with no real purpose in mind. I mean, you can renovate it, but what is it going to be? So should we consider selling or leasing that building to a private developer and put it on the tax rolls so it wouldn't cost us that money? With a stipulation of how it should be developed.
Yeah, and I definitely think something like that, like. The city-owned properties that are just kind of sitting there and just really no purpose, right? They need to be leased out, I think. They don't need to be sold.
Right.
You know, they need to be leased out, let someone else come in, do the upgrades, spend the money to make it an attraction.
Right.
And let them take liability and let the city collect a check on it.
Right. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, they got to have a purpose. They just can't sit there.
Yeah, they can't just sit there. And, I mean, they're nice to look at. I mean, I've been on a tour of that building, and it's pretty fascinating. But you see it once, you don't need to see it.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody, and they had mentioned it may, you know, it'd be awesome as a second fire station.
Right.
You know, I thought that would be cool because
it
looks really nice. but it needs to be an attraction, not just sitting there.
Okay. So. The situation at the airport is getting more complicated. I mean, I understand they just appointed an airport director who's a longtime employee, which is probably good because she'll know the background of the thing. But, you know, there's a little bit conflict between council about whether to build an airport tower, which would probably bring more business into the city and certainly increase the safety of the airport.
Yeah.
The city, you know, has an airport advisory committee that made all these recommendations for the hangars and the fuel farm, and it was ignored by the city. I mean, where do you think we should go with that?
Well, I know, so the control tower, I've talked to, you know, many people, and some are for it, and some that they could go either way on it. You know, it is a safety issue. Now the way I see it now is the tourism and maybe that the airport or the helicopter tours are kind of down right now.
Right.
Would right now be the time to build and then anticipate all the tourism and everything coming back? Or do we wait? Because the FAA pays, I believe, 90% of it. So it's not going to be a huge cost to us. So do we do it now or do we wait? That's where I'm at on it.
Okay. But... And in terms of the hangars and the fuel farm, are you willing to revisit those issues? I mean, the fuel farm, I understand, is going to come up for a vote again. You know, how they're going to do that, and the hangars, you know, there was only a small portion of the hangars that were removed from the owners. You know, I mean, would you be in favor of bringing those issues back and considering them again?
Yeah, I think there needs to be some middle ground found.
Yeah.
That way the city's happy and the hangar owners are happy.
Right.
You know, there's not a whole lot of money in it for either party, but there needs to be some middle ground found so everybody's happy.
Okay. So I've been asked to ask this question by a couple of the voters in town about the solar fields. There seems to be a little bit of resistance now to more solar fields.
I mean,
they think we got enough of them down there. Do we need to lease them anymore? And of course, that brings a lot of money into the city and keeps our taxes down. So, you know, there's again, you know, half six in one, half a dozen in the other. Where do you stand on that?
You know, I said that I'm not the biggest fan of them.
Yeah.
I'm a avid user of the desert, whether it's me and my kids are on motorcycles or razors. You know, it's getting tighter and tighter out there trying to make our way out there. But they are a great revenue stream for us. The big topic is why don't we get better rates?
Right.
You know, we have all those. Why don't we, you know,
benefit
off of it? Mm-hmm. And, we could all, we'd all say, oh, we need to negotiate something better.
Right.
But you know, we're not in there. We're not in there with the deals. So I can't say, you know, I'll get in and we'll get a better deal with it.
Right. But when you talk about utility rates, I mean, mm-hmm. that's what people are frustrated about. You know, here we are producing all this electricity that mostly goes to Los Angeles and California,
yeah.
and we don't really benefit out of that electricity, mm-hmm. except, of course, we do get the money from the leases. So, you know, would you be in favor of maybe leasing some more land and then using that money to reduce the utility rates?
If we could get it done.
Yeah,
I think so. As long as it's right, wherever it goes, right, it has to be somewhere where we can all agree on, you know,
right.
it's not in the middle of, you know, people that want to use the desert, or it just now becomes a dust storm every time a little breeze pops up.
No,
or not.
I was driving through the other day and there's a dust devil reaching hundreds of feet into the air.
Yeah.
You know, so it does seem to stir up a lot of dust.
Yes, it does.
I would imagine if that dust gets on the solar panels, I got to clean them off.
Right?
I don't know.
Yeah, there's not enough rain nowadays.
Right. So also on the ballot this June will be a question about the new pool. We've done a study now, and they've come up with the alternative of building a new pool, half the cost of the original estimate, which
yes.
was around $40 million. So we're talking around $20 million. Are you in favor of that?
Yes, I am. Okay. I think $21 million is a reasonable price mm-hmm. for a new aquatic center.
Right.
You know, our residents, our swim team, you know, the people here deserve a new pool.
Sure.
The one we have done, it's done its job for, mm-hmm. you know, a long time. So I think we're due for an upgrade.
Right. And we have a real history of really good swimmers.
We do.
You know, we've actually got Zane Grothy, who's headed toward the Olympics this year, we hope. You know?
Yeah.
You know, we've had other kids go on to college and swim for collegiate teams and then do mm-hmm. a great job. So that's a real strength of this town and the history of the town. So
yeah.
So I think that's important.
Yeah, it'll bring in, you know, we could have big swim tournaments, just like, you know, the baseball fields and the football field. You know, we have big tournaments where we bring people in, they come, you know, watch sports
right.
games,
sure.
they come in, spend the money at the restaurants, the shops, and then, you know, they go home.
Yeah.
So it's just, you spend a little bit of money now,
right.
And then it'll pay for itself here.
Sure, sure. So I don't want to say you've been criticized, but people have pointed out you don't have a lot of experience with city government.
Yeah.
However, the entire city council and the mayor had no mm-hmm. experience before they were elected here. So how do you respond to that charge?
You know, they're going to find something to criticize you about something, right? And lack of experience, if that's what I'm going to get, that's fine. Stuff like that only makes me work harder.
Right.
So, right. How am I supposed to get experience? Am I supposed to wait 40 years, you know, joining these other committees and
right.
doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Or why wait 40 years?
Okay.
You know, the Boulder City has been great to us. And I can't think of a better way to pay it forward and say thank you than to be a public servant.
Okay. So I've spoken to, you know, several of the city council members. We had Tracy Folda mm-hmm. in here last week to do a podcast. When I interviewed Judy Hopkins, they show me these books that they have to study before every council meeting.
Yeah.
And they're hundreds and hundreds of pages. You know, you've got a full-time job, you know. How are you going to fit that in?
It's time management. And you know, we got a restaurant, you got kids, but right, there's always time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, setting that time aside.
Okay. So you'll figure out how to put it together. Okay. So how do you think you can contribute to a better future for the Boulder City and its residents if you're elected to city council?
Like I mentioned, you know, earlier on the on this podcast is, you know, I can be a voice for the business operators mm-hmm. and owners and the family, you know, families that have kids here mm-hmm. in town. I think that's what the council is lacking.
So do you think you would be able to balance the council better? And, you know, it seems to have been slanted to one side up until now. But but with you and Sherry on it, it's going to certainly bring a balance to the council.
Yeah, and I think, right, being the business that I'm in, I work with hundreds of different personalities.
Right.
And I'm able to bring people together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if the right people aren't in place, nothing's going to get done. And I think me and Sherry would be a great, would be great, you know, for the council and mm-hmm. we can bring everybody together and get things done.
As a business owner in Boulder City, how do you think the city approaches the businesses? Do you think it's business friendly enough, or is there a lot of hurdles unnecessary hurdles that you have to go through?
I don't think the process for people wanting to open a business here in town I don't think it's clear enough. Uh-huh. Because you'll be thinking you're done. And then come to find out, oh, there's another permit, another fee.
Right.
And I think there should be, a committee, of other business owners and operators to help new business owners coming in that want to open a business here
sure.
in town.
Right.
I think it could be clearer.
Okay, great. Well, Matt, again, congratulations on making the runoff. We wish you luck in the final election, and hope to do this again if you're a councilman, and give you a few months to get it under your belt, and we'll get back together.
No, I look forward to it, and Roger, thank you so much, and I just want to say to everyone that's listening to this, thank you very much, and I'd love to earn your vote. You know where to find me. My phone number's out there. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out.
Thanks for listening to the Boulder City Podcast, where you hear the voices of Boulder City, their histories, and their perspectives. Tell your friends about it and visit us at bouldercitypodcast.com for all the interesting conversations we've had. We'll see you next time on the Boulder City Podcast.